Well, good morning. Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak to you about something that we're both absolutely passionate about. And thank you also for the wonderful welcome that so many individuals from this church have given us this morning. It's really, truly a blessing to be with you, so thank you. So we have a PowerPoint show that Ian is going to control, but also we're going to share, explaining a little bit about the slides that come up. So we've both been, first of all, this is Ian and I'm Jane, as you probably realise already. We are both Prison Fellowship members, volunteers who have been active in prisons locally. And we just want to share with you not only what Prison Fellowship have put on their own official PowerPoint presentation here, but also how that has fleshed out in our experience as well. So I'd like you first of all to have a look at the logo. And I think maybe you'll notice there's something quite unique about it. The R of the I, you'll notice, has an arm around the I, which looks like a person. And that actually explains, in a nutshell, what we do. We go into prisons or send letters. We come alongside people who are in that prison situation. And we simply accompany them, as it were, through their journey. One of the things that I love about that hymn that we sang right at the very beginning, it actually is my favourite hymn of all, and it always has been. It's taken from Psalm 103, actually. But then, of course, as the years rolled on and I became involved in Prison Fellowship, suddenly some of those words absolutely sprang out at me. So, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Those are all words, all principles that apply to the way that we come alongside people in prison. I also love verse 3, Father-like, he tends and spares us, well our feeble frame he knows. In his hands he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. I just think they're just such lovely words. So I'm going to, one more thing to say. As Christians, we believe that every life can be transformed and that no one is beyond hope. And that hope might look different to different people, but no one is beyond hope. And that's where we start from. So Ian's going to talk us through the next little slide about our mission statement.
Good morning. As Jane said, our mission statement is to show Christ's love to people in prison by coming alongside them and supporting them. It may be that there are some of us here who have known people who sadly had to serve a prison sentence, or the families that have been affected by their loved one having to go to prison. But what I've come to learn over the years is that the people that we meet, they're just like you and me. They're not bad people, they're just people who've made bad choices. And the vast majority will ultimately, with a few exceptions, return to the community. But by being there, and being their equals, if you like, we don't wear black and white uniforms. We go in as we are, and we don't judge them. We meet them where they are, and that in itself for them is quite unusual and quite different. So we hope that by coming alongside them, we can give them reasons and hope why there will be good ways in which they can return to the community. So I'd just like to show you some statistics. I hope you can read that. Prison population in this country is around about 88,000. And sadly, we are the top incarcerator in Western Europe. As you can see, 44% of adults are reconvicted within a year. So this intervention, this this attempt to rehabilitate is so important to try and prevent that happening. 65% of boys who offend have a parent who also offended. And self-harm, we have seen this at first hand, self-harm in prisons is at the highest level ever recorded, hasn't doubled in the last 10 years. And approximately 38% of people identify as having a learning disability. Some of the courses that we run requires written work, and it is shocking sometimes to see how poor the literacy is. Men whose last experience of school was perhaps 12 years of age, and even if we can bring that literacy, they have courses in prison, of course they do, but they can if they have a means to express themselves by being literate. And this is about the backgrounds, because for every crime there is a reason. There is something in people's lives that caused them to offend. And when you look at these statistics, it helps you to see foster children, abused children, 47% have no qualifications, 68% were unemployed before custody, 15% were homeless, and obviously a suicide has been attempted. It's interesting to see that in women it is a higher figure, because what they've experienced in terms of their criminal lives sometimes can be quite horrific. So over to Jane now again to talk about our biblical calling.
So as you can see, we have the reading that we've already heard this morning from Matthew, which, as it was introduced, it's a very clear statement that we are expected to visit people in prison and bring some sort of sense of hope into their lives. So our prison fellowship values are prayerfulness. The first thing, everything that we do in prison fellowship is covered by prayer. When we started as an organisation in 1979, I think it was, we weren't actually allowed access as an organisation to any prisons. So we spent, I wasn't in it at that time, I hasten to add, but we spent 2 years just praying about prisons in the country, and gradually, one by one, they opened up to us. And now we are in contact with every prison in England and Wales. And there are prayer groups that support almost every prison. So our values, prayerfulness, and everything that we do as volunteers starts in prayer and is covered in prayer all the way through. Respect for the people that we're meeting. We try and work together as a team, seeing God's bigger plan. We try and show integrity, that what we say we'll do, we actually will do. Hope, compassion, and dignity that we see, we try and see in each person, the dignity that they have, because we are all made in the image of God. That can sometimes be challenging, but that's perhaps where prayer comes in. Throughout the Bible, we see examples of God's love for the broken, for those in prison, and for the disadvantaged. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, there's the situation of the woman caught in adultery. I'm sure you're familiar with that story. And Jesus stepped in
where he could see that there was some punishment being enacted for breaking the law. But he stood on the side of the accused. He said, let the one who's never sinned throw the first stone. And one by one they all stepped away, realizing that no one is without sin. So Jesus set the example of treating a woman with dignity and respect, regardless of her past. Notice that he finished by telling the woman, now go and leave your life of sin. She wasn't absolved, but she was encouraged to own her sin and then move on to restoration. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, all comes back. So this slide, which we've already heard, quotes Jesus' instruction to visit those in prison, because by doing that, we're also visiting Jesus. Many biblical characters had experience of prison, so Paul, even Jesus, we think, possibly had in the night of his crucifixion, was possibly held in captivity. So that gives us our biblical calling, and now we're going on to the why.
So Prison Fellowship has been in existence for some 45 years. Originally, I think I'm right in saying, in America began. We've got around about, it says 2,500, but we think it's close to 3,000 volunteers. But we're always keen, obviously, to have more volunteers. We're a denominational, thank you, Christian charity, and as Jane says, firmly based in prayer. And that from that prayer stems the practical work in the form, various forms that of the prison fellowship programs that we will come on to talk to you about a little bit in a little while. You're very welcome to go and have a look at our website. All our programs are shown on there. And obviously there are ways that you can support us, either financially or by volunteering.
I think I've already jumped ahead of myself with this one, saying prayer is the basis of everything that we do, and that we, that I think it's just really striking that the first 2 years of our existence we simply prayed, and then things opened up to us. So every prison fellowship member will be placed in a local group. So we're in the group locally, in Bournemouth and Poole, and so we serve a couple of different, two or three different prisons in the area here. So we meet together once a month and pray together as a group for the things that we're doing and for prison fellowship work generally, often with specific prayer requests. So when we go into the chapel, we often ask people if they would like anything for us to pray for them. And also the chaplains sometimes will give us prayer requests as well. So let's move on then to the overview of our programs. So the first one is Angel Tree, which Ian will tell you a little bit more about in a minute. That's where we give gifts to the prisoners' children on their behalf, but Ian will explain that a bit more fully. So that's the one with the tree. The letter, we have a sort of pen pal program, which I'll talk about in a little while, which is called Letter Link. So we match up a volunteer and a prisoner who would like letters. That one on the right, I think, is the pastoral support, I think. So we're pastoral care, and we're looking into going further down that, getting alongside people individually that are struggling with loss. Chaplaincy support, I might have got those two mixed up, sorry. So we go into to prison once a month and help out with the service there. But I'll explain a little bit more about that. Bible studies, the one in the middle there, we send in Bible studies, and there's an automated prayer line phone, an answer phone, where they can leave prayer requests. So over to you, Ian, to explain a little bit more about Angel Tree, please.
Thanks, Jane. So Angel Tree, as Jane says, is the scheme we run to allow prisoners to send gifts, Christmas gifts, to their children. It's in many ways, there are two sets of people serving sentences here. There's the prisoner themselves, but there's also the family, and particularly the children. It may surprise you to know that more children are affected by having a parent in prison than is affected by divorce. In this country, which is quite a sobering thought. So the way it works is that the prisoners are invited to complete a form, and they state on there the names and ages of their children and their interests, and then it's Jane usually, goes out shopping and buys the gifts. Obviously, the prisoners themselves have no access to the funds or to be able to send anything. So this is quite a unique thing to be able to do. The gift costs around about £15-20. And if the prisoner is happy for us to do this, we also include a Christian book for the child as well. There's a gift tag that the parent fills out, so it's very personal. When that gift arrives, that child would understand it's come from their mother or their father. And we let the prisoner know what we've sent, so that when they have a phone call or a visit, they can talk to the child about the gift they sent. Last year, one of the men we know at the prison we serve said that the gift that we sent on his behalf was the one that was the most played with by his daughter, and all the other gifts were just left to one side. So it just shows, you know, the absence of a father or mother, how much that impacts these children. And also, a few years ago, one of the men told us that his partner and his child had started going to church as a direct result of receiving an Angel Tree gift. Part of this also is for Mother's Day with young offenders, so that's young people in prison, up to 18, I believe. We offer a similar scheme where they can send a Mother's Day card to their mum. So there's a couple of quotes there from prisoners whose children have received Angel Tree gifts. Letterlink, you're going to talk about Letterlink, aren't you? Yeah. Thank you.
All the programmes that we run are very carefully put together and are agreed with the prison service. And then following that, we all have very in-depth training on how to go about doing those different programmes within the prison context. Sorry. So Letterlink, I think it's fairly clear what that might end up being. So we have quite a few people in prison who request a pen pal, as it were. And actually, we don't really have quite enough people at the moment, I think, that can match up with to provide that support. So we're always looking for people that could join us and do that. That means that you can do that work without actually going inside a prison. You still have to get the training, of course, and know what the do's and don'ts are. It's a very valued thing. And the people that are involved in receiving them, they often say, I really look forward to when the mail's called out every day to see if I've got my my letter from my pen pal, my letter link pal. So that's a lovely thing to do. Chaplaincy support network. There are three things itemised there. Sunday services, as I've said to you before, we go in once a month. I play the piano so that I can help with music if they haven't got anyone there at the time who will help with that. But also the more precious part of it is that we get alongside them, we talk with them, we chat with them, we just have a bit of fun sometimes. But we also ask if they would like any prayer requests that we then take back to our group, and then we pray about those things during the month. And so often they will come back to us and say, thank you so much for praying about whatever it was. God's answered your prayers, and you know this has happened that we asked for. There was one a little while ago, a few years back actually now, but it still resonates with me, that there was a man that I'd spent 10 minutes with. In my entire life, I spent 10 minutes with this one man. And after the service, we sat together, and he was telling me how he was so worried because he was in prison, he was possibly going to lose his business, his home, and his dog. And I simply prayed with him. I said, would you like me to pray for you now? And he said, yes, please. So we sat there and I prayed that God would help him with his business and his home and his dog and all the rest of it and how he moved forward. And off he went. And I never heard anything about it until several months later, I got a letter via chaplaincy. And I just would like to read it to you. Dear Jane, I don't know if you'll remember me, but you spoke to me and prayed for me. I was in a dark place at the time. It's like you knew it. Something happened that day. It was like a great weight lifted from me. Well, it sounds mad, but being in here and meeting people like you has been a life-changing experience. I pray twice a day since the day we've met. I believe that something has happened spiritually since that day to me. I can't believe that I've been released early. And due to praying, I believe. This has saved my business and my home and my beloved dog. I wish that I could have given you this letter in person, but due to your help, I've been released. But thanks to you, I will attend my local church every week from now on. I felt compelled to write to you to thank you. I will never forget your kindness. Thank you for helping people like us. God bless you. And to me, that kind of says it all, really. We come alongside them. We don't know what kind of effect that's going to have. I spent 10 minutes with that man, and look at what happened as a result, what God did through that encounter. It's just such a privilege to be part of that. I think I mentioned briefly that we were thinking in terms of perhaps getting involved in our prison with pastoral support, and we're working towards getting an Alpha in Prisons program running we're working on that at the moment and hoping that can happen within the next few months. So I think then the other thing is the Bible studies. So this is something that sprang out of the COVID problem, because obviously all of a sudden we weren't allowed into the prisons at all, for obvious reasons. And so I think the prison service actually came to Prison Fellowship and said, can you do anything to help, plug the gap? Because we're so used to people coming in and doing things for us on a Sunday. How can you do anything about it? So at that point, they put together a small team who devised Bible studies that were on a single A4 sheet and then a sort of response sheet that they could fill in as well. And those were distributed by email to all the prisons, and then the chaplains were able to print those off and put them under the doors of any of the men that they knew might appreciate it. So that started, we were invited to do that for, I think, maybe 3 months, 6 months. And we've kept going with that. Today, it's number 242 has gone out. So that's another thing that we're pleased that we were able to respond in that way in a situation that was really quite challenging, COVID. Right, and Ian's going to tell us a little bit more about the next one.
I don't know whether Jane mentioned it with that letter, but the last line said, "To me, you were an angel." 10 minutes.
I'm going to put that.
10 minutes. I read it. 10 minutes of our time. You know, you just don't know what God's going to do with that. It's just amazing. So another response to the pandemic was that we couldn't go into prisons, obviously, but it was clear that that prayer support was needed. So there was a scheme set up called Prayer Line. And again, remarkably, the prison service encouraged this. The way it works is there's a free phone number, the prisoner goes to the phone and gives his prayer request. It's anonymized so that it goes out, just perhaps with a letter indicating the person's first letter of their name. And then it can be distributed throughout the prison fellowship groups in the country, who then can pray for that individual. Quite often you see on television a prisoner making a phone call in a booth in the corridor, and there's all noise and everything going on. In actual fact, a lot of them have phones in their rooms, in their cells. They can only phone the numbers that the prison say they can, so their loved one or whatever. But obviously the prayer line number was added to that. And this little scheme just shows how it works. It actually shows them in the corridor, but that's not... the person in prison calls the prayer line, leaves a message, a prayer request is anonymised, converted to text and distributed, and then all the prison fellowship volunteers around the country can pray for that person. And so can you, because there is an app called PrayerMate. If you'd like to find out a little bit more about that, I can talk to you about it after the after this service.
So, pastoral care, that's the one that I was saying about earlier, but it's just coming alongside individuals to help them through difficult times that they may... And can you imagine it? We met a young chap a couple of months back whose mum had died, and he hadn't actually come to the service, he'd just come in to light a candle because that was how he could cope with his mum having died a few days before. But you feel so helpless if you're in prison with all that. He would have been allowed, if there had been enough staff, I think he was... it was planned that he could go to the funeral. But he would have been chained to prison officers. It would have been pretty obvious where he'd been. So coming alongside people living with loss, and that loss sometimes can be just breakup of a relationship. That's another loss that we can maybe get alongside people with. Anyway, so how people can help? So pray. We would really love you to pray for us. Volunteer if you feel so led. It would be lovely to have more volunteers. There are some leaflets at the back. One of the things that we do from time to time is we do an open Zoom call to anybody who would like to explore prison ministry. That's what it's called, exploring prison ministry. There are a couple of flyers at the back on that. There's one on the 16th of July, so it's an evening free Zoom thing to just explore it a little bit and find out if there's anything there that you feel you could be involved in. There are other handouts here today. If you felt that you would like to support the angel tree, the Christmas presents that we send to the children, we would love that. And there are various other leaflets, a couple of leaflets at the back. There's a magazine that comes out once a quarter, I think, about what we're doing as, you know, the latest news from Prison Fellowship, and all the things that we get involved in. There's a flyer about Angel Tree, and there's also a flyer at the back about, you know, roughly just getting over pretty much what we both said this morning, the different programmes that we lead and so on. The other thing is that if you look on the website, if you're okay with looking up websites and so on, the Prison Fellowship, www.prisonfellowship.org.uk, there's a wealth of information on that. It's really quite fascinating. You could spend quite a long time looking through that if you felt so inclined. The other thing that I'd just like to mention before we finish is that every October there's a national event for all the different charities that are involved in prison ministry. It's called Prisons Week, and it's a week of prayer for all Christians to join in with. So if you felt that you would like to see a presentation on that, it's very easy to find out about Prisons Week if you look online. And I think that just about covers it, really. So we'll hopefully be around for a few minutes at the end if anyone wants to have a chat with us. And I hope you found this informative, and even more, hope you found it interesting. But it's just amazing the way that God has worked with what little we're able to offer. And we just thank him, praise God for that. Thank you so much.